Timing is everything. Four days late. I really knew what I was doing. But, you know, I'd had the car, both vehicles, inspected, and had the oil changed. But let me tell you, you don't get your inspection registration done in 4 days, that's $15, okay? $15 the government charged me because I got my registration 4 days late. Timing is really everything. You know, regardless of rhythm or intentionality, no one, not a single one of us, no one here, no one there, nowhere, everywhere, or anywhere would exist if it was not for precise timing. Right? I can remember a particular day when I was in college, and we had just gotten back from the cafeteria. It was in the evening. We were on the porch, and just out of the blue, this wind came in. And it came in, and it was knocking giant pictures off of the wall in the house. And I can remember this car. So it was a driveway, and you could only have, it was, you know, you could go both ways, but you couldn't have two cars going down there at the same time. And we had a little, about three-car parking spot up front, and most parking was in the back. And there was this huge oak tree. I mean, it probably would take four people just to wrap around it. And this car was coming out, and there was a car coming in. And the one car going out pulled in that little parking spot, and the other car just kept going, and the oak tree went pow, out of the blue. Timing is everything. You know that there's so many things that happen that the timing was just incredible. Like, total opposite would have happened. In baseball, if you don't have good timing, you're not going to hit the ball. You can run timing plays, and if your timing's off, not good. If your timing's on, it can get you out of a jam. Basketball plays, football plays, hunting, fishing. I can't tell you how many times I have gone and then all of a sudden it happened, right? You know? Or you could sit there all day and nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, at the right time, after sitting there all day, it happens. Timing is everything. And today we see this story. I love that song because it really tells you the story about Lazarus. But it tells you the story of where we are in our lives. Because I think a lot of times we find ourselves somewhere wrestling between day one, two, three, or at the beginning of four. Because we are in this mess and we don't understand what's going on. The fish aren't biting, right? You put the seeds out too early, they may germinate and then the frost comes. You put them out too late, it's too late. Timing is everything. When we think about a familiar, timing is everything. That's a wonderful transition. Ecclesiastes 3. There is an occasion, a time for everything, a time to every activity under heaven or earth, a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to avoid embrace, and a time to search and a time to count as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Timing is everything. The great Saint Augustine has a quote. He says, "What then is time? If no one asks me, then I can tell you. If I wish to explain it to him who asks, I do not know." Time is somewhat of a mystery. It just goes by. The future pushes the present into the past. But time is a gift. And the good news for believers is that time is eternity. And I often wonder why we somewhat want to segregate and separate out time and eternity, because time is within eternity, because eternity is forever. And God has said that he who believes in him will live forever. Some Jewish sayings will say that death is the kiss of time and eternity. And this morning, I want to take a look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now, before we go any further, into the timing of this service, let us just say that, do you realize that we are 20% better at doing things at the right time? Apparently, the afternoon is not when you should do certain tasks. The afternoon is what they call the trenches, okay? This is scientific research, okay? I'm telling you, this is the truth. So that's the time you want to check your emails, do the boring task. Don't try to do anything enlightening, okay? Because you're not enlightened. You're torn down, okay? Chapter 11. Well, what comes before chapter 11? It's called chapter 10. And what happens in chapter 10? Well, Jesus goes to Jerusalem for the festival of dedication, which we would call Hanukkah. It's around wintertime. And at this point, Jesus is really starting to identify himself as the Messiah, the Son of God. And in fact, at the end of the chapter, they all want to stone Jesus, but it's not his time. See, timing is everything. And where we are in this story of chapter 11 in the raising of Lazarus is at a critical, critical juncture in the ministry of Jesus, which means the salvation of us. and they want to stone Jesus. Why? They want to stone Jesus because he claims to be one who can forgive sins. And he's just a mere man. Well, he does have the power to forgive sins. And so it was not the right time, and so he goes off onto the other side of the Jordan, and he's hanging out. He's hanging out for the moment that he would enter Jerusalem for the final time. Because in chapter 12, what happens? Chapter 12 is the triumphal entry. This is the end of the public ministry of Jesus, which ends at the week of crucifixion. And praise be to God, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And so let's just walk through chapter 11, because it is such a critical, critical chapter. Now, a man was sick, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So his sister sent him a message to the Lord: the one you love is sick. We're all sick. And Jesus loves us. That's the good news of the gospel. We are all sick. And even in spite of that, Jesus loves us. And so when Jesus heard what had happened, he says, this sickness will not end in death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God, Jesus, may be glorified through it. So it is through this act that God is giving Jesus the power, that Jesus knows what's going to happen. Jesus is intentionally waiting. He is not going to Bethany. And sometimes that's where we are. And we're like, I don't understand why it's taken so long. Like, what are you waiting on, God? You need to get busy. Come on, get with my plan. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed there 2 more days. Jesus gets the news and he stays 2 more days. So logic would tell us that it's a 2-day travel just to get there. Or he took a very slow journey. Regardless, we know that he was 4 days late. Then after that, the disciples said, let's go to Judea again. Rabbi, the disciples told him, just now the Jews tried to stone you. And this is what I was referencing to earlier. The Jews tried to stone you, and you're going again? And then Jesus starts talking about traveling at the end of day and night, and there's symbolism of light and darkness, and we're not going to get into that now. And then jump down to verse 12. Then the disciples said to him, Lord, he has fallen asleep, and he will get well. You see, Jesus knows that he's dead, that Lazarus is dead. And he used this euphemism that he's fallen asleep. Let's say he's asleep with Jesus. What does that mean? It means the person has passed away, that he has died. And Jesus employs this euphemism of he's fallen asleep. And the disciples want to know, well, why are we going to go wake him up? Doctors induce a coma so that the body will rest so that it can heal. We all know somebody. I mean, I talk about timing, was walking through Costco one day, and then all of a sudden, there she was, that stationary bike. I'd been looking for one, you know? And then just the timing was everything. You know, I was like, wow. They had an iFit membership for a whole year. And the next thing you know, like I'm riding and riding and riding on this bike. And I ended up like discovering this guy named Tommy Rivers Posey. And oh man, this guy, he's a doctor. He's a licensed massage therapist. He's a therapist. He's an anthropologist. He speaks 5 languages. You know, he got a cultural anthropology degree when he was in undergrad. He ended up getting physiology degree, and so then he got his doctorate. And he's an endurance, like ultra marathon, like hardcore dude, right? And I just love listening to this guy. And his big phrase was always, "Don't get dead." Don't get dead. And he's talking about when he's riding his bike on the road. Don't get dead. And that's my number one goal. Don't get dead. That's all our goal. We go through life and all we want to do is don't get dead. And we wonder why God is so late. And we don't understand. Don't get dead. Well, let me tell you a little story. Right when COVID was really coming into the world, you know what happened to, I mean, this guy, he'd get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to run up a mountain just to see the sunrise. You know how early you got to get up in the morning just to see the sunrise on the top of a mountain? Because the mountain is blocking the sun. You know that, right? Wow. He thought he had COVID. He had a rare form of lung cancer. This guy don't smoke. But something happened. You know what they did? They put him to sleep. They put him in a coma. They let him rest. And slowly but surely, after months, he got out of the hospital. And not long after, he ran a marathon in New York. Now, I will say, in 2022, he got hit by a car riding his bike. He didn't get dead. Don't get dead. We just live life trying to don't get dead. And sometimes we forget about the power of God, that nothing is impossible with God. And so, verse 17, Jesus arrived in Bethany, which is, you know, just a couple miles outside of Jerusalem. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them. And as soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to him to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Well, you know, we can see, like, we kind of know the personalities of Mary and Martha through other gospel texts, that Martha seems to be, like, the doer, and Mary seems to be kind of, like, a little more at the feet of Jesus. And this seems to be kind of consistent with their personalities. Martha just, she goes on out. Mary's just sitting there waiting. And Martha said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yet, even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha's like, "Yeah, I know. I know he'll rise at the resurrection, right? Like this end time result." And Jesus is like, no. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." You see, Martha believed in Jesus. She believed that he is the Son of God, the Messiah. And her language is so echoing that of Peter, that what Robbie referenced earlier, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But she doesn't quite understand. And she, just like us, want to push God and say, like, come on, get on my timetable. Help me out. Verse 28. Having said this, Martha went to her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling you. Timing is everything. You know, is Jesus calling you now? Can you hear his voice? As soon as she heard this, she got up quickly and went out to him. Jesus had not come into the village. And the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw that Mary had got up, and they think she's going to the tomb. And so they all follow her out. And here again, Jesus gets it the second time. First time by Martha, the second time by Mary. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And I want you to go back and I want you to think about Jesus staying. Jesus not going, deliberately, intentionally not going to raise Lazarus. This is so that God may be glorified through the act that will take place in so many times in our lives while we're in day 1 through 3 before the rising from the ashes. We wonder why until it actually happens, right? And then when it happens, we recognize and we're like praising God. What we need to do is we need to learn to praise the God on those days 1 through 3, which is not always easy to do. And we have that famous 11:35. Jesus wept. The compassion that we see from Jesus throughout the Gospels, whether it's somebody's hungry or sad, dejected, rejected, downtrodden, Jesus shows compassion. And so the Jews said, see how he loved him, speaking of Lazarus. And then the text is a little interesting. In the CSB, it says, then Jesus angry. We don't think Jesus really is angry here. This is an interesting word. And it's only used a few times in the New Testament. But in Greek context, it really is a horse snorting. Like, just letting it out. You know, just, you think about that. Like how Jesus is reacting right now. Like, why is he like this? He's probably so frustrated at what's going on. But he also knows what's coming. And he says, Martha says, after Jesus has removed the stone, Lord, he already stinks. It's been 4 days. You know, Jewish belief is that for 3 days, maybe he's not really dead. There's no doubt at 4 days. In fact, that body is starting to stink. And this is where Jesus begins his prayer. He says, Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And so they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I said this. Lazarus, come out. And here comes Lazarus stumbling out of the cave. And he says, take the grave clothes off. And here's the problem. That was the last straw. Those in power could not handle it anymore that Jesus had raised somebody from the dead, who'd been in the tomb for 4 days. You see, timing is everything. At this point, the Jews, the leaders, intentionally plan to remove Jesus from the scene. You read the rest of chapter 11. While many who witnessed this event believe that Jesus is the Messiah, some intentionally plot to end the life of Jesus. In fact, they want to get rid of Lazarus too. But praise be to God. Praise be to God that that's not the end of the story. Praise be to God that the crucifixion was not the end of the story. And it can be the beginning of our stories if we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. You see, timing is everything. But everything in his time is made beautiful. Everything in his time is made beautiful, which is our last hymn, which is time to sing, because timing is everything.
Hymn 522, in his time, we'll sing both verses.